Welcome to this podcast of Episode 7 of the Holy Bible, the New Testament, a Bible study series on the Anglican Hour. I'm Father Ron Shibley, rector at St. John Chrysostom Anglican Church, the host parish of the Anglican Internet Church. In Episode 7, we begin the discussion of the Gospel of St. Mark, beginning with its authorship, history, language, audience, themes, and style, and we will then turn to an examination of the text through chapter 1, verse 20. The name Mark comes from the Roman Marcus, which was derived from a Greek name which means hammer. Although he is not identified in the text as the author, early tradition credits the work to John Mark, the son of Mary, the sister of Barnabas, who at various times was a follower or interpreter of St. Peter. He may be the same young man who is depicted clad only in a linen cloth who escapes capture naked in Mark 14, verses 51 and 52. John Mark is also mentioned in Acts 12, verse 12 and 25, Acts 13, 5 and 13, Colossians 4, 10, and in 2 Timothy 4, 11. Mark and Paul were estranged for some time, but Mark's reconciliation with St. Paul is mentioned in Philemon chapter 24. In 1 Peter 5:13, St. Peter calls him my son. Among the early church leaders who accepted that St. Mark was the author were Papias, bishop at Hierapolis, around 140 A.D., Irenaeus of Lyon, around 180 A.D., Clement of Alexandria, around 200 A.D., an early work called Prologue to Mark, published at Rome between 160 and 180 A.D., also credited the work to Mark, as did Justin Martyr in the 2nd century, and the Roman historian in North Africa, Tertullian, around 200 A.D. In Christian iconography, St. Mark is usually depicted as a lion, as he is in the 1697 icon by Emmanuel Zanis that we used in the video version of this course, in which the image is based upon the vision of Ezekiel in Ezekiel 1:20. Eastern Church tradition claims St. Mark as the founder of the first Christian community at Alexandria, Egypt, which eventually became one of the five great sees or jurisdictions of the early church. The Egyptian and Ethiopian Coptic Church still uses a variation of an early liturgy named after St. Mark. And that liturgy of St. Mark the Apostle is the source of the Anglican salutations and versicles used in morning prayer. After the fall, or sometime after the fall of Constantinople to Muslim domination in 1453 A.D., the remains of St. Mark were taken from Alexandria to Venice, where they were installed in the Basilica of St. Mark, built in the Byzantine or Eastern Church style in the 9th century and expanded upon later. St. Mark was the patron saint of the city-state of Venice, which used the lion as its symbol. The Gospel of St. Mark, considered by many to be the first of the four Gospels, most likely was written between 60 and 62 A.D., 3 decades after Jesus' resurrection. Tradition says that St. Mark wrote his Gospel under the direction of St. Peter, a tradition supported by the writings of Justin Martyr around 150 A.D., and by the eyewitness detail that is found in many scenes. The year of St. Mark's death is given as 62 A.D., after he had named Bishop Onianus as his successor at Alexandria. The feast day of St. Mark on the Anglican calendar is April 25th. The Gospel of St. Mark comes down to us in simple but elegant Koine Greek, also called Septuagint Greek. The oldest manuscripts of St. Mark's Gospel, including the Codex Sinaiticus and the Codex Vaticanus, end at chapter 16, verse 8, but all other manuscripts include chapter 16, verses 9 to 20, which includes the account of the appearance of the risen Christ, the Great Commission, and the Ascension. The Church accepts Mark chapter 16, verses 9 to 20 as divinely inspired. St. Mark wrote his gospel for a different audience than did St. Matthew, that being Gentiles, especially Christians in the Roman Empire, especially at Rome where they were being persecuted. Where St. Matthew used extensive references, including direct quotations and scriptural allusions to Hebrew history, tradition, and scripture, St. Mark included in his own narrative only one direct quotation from the Old Testament. He also assumed that his readers had some knowledge of Christian history and doctrine. The best proof of this is that he offered no introductory material concerning John the Baptist, who appears in the first 8 verses. St. Mark's content differs dramatically from that of St. Matthew. Where St. Matthew included long discourses and many parables spoken by Jesus, St. Mark included only the most essential ingredients and only 4 parables. St. Matthew's style is terse, to the point, straightforward, or just the facts, ma'am, in the manner of an eyewitness account, making it the shortest of the 4 Gospels. Mark accomplished this by condensing the timeline, offering no genealogy and no nativity narrative such as found in first in Matthew and secondly in St. Luke's account. John the Baptist and his baptism of Jesus are described in the first 11 verses. John the Baptist does not appear in St. Matthew's Gospel until the start of the 3rd chapter. St. Mark's version of Jesus' discourse with the public and the disciples are framed to include direct quotations to which answers are immediately provided, many spoken by Jesus himself. The themes of St. Mark's Gospel are also quite different than those found in St. Matthew's work. Mark presents Jesus as a mature adult who is a suffering but humble servant of his Father. St. Mark, more than any other evangelist, focuses on the miraculous events in Jesus' life. St. Mark's Gospel, in fact, includes 18 miracles, each of which we will discuss in episode 8 and 9. A constant underlying theme of the work is that the good news or the gospel or offer of salvation through Jesus Christ is available to all, which means the Gentiles or the nations, and not just to the Hebrews. A second underlying theme is found in the narrative of the feeding of the 4,000 in Mark 8, verses 16 to 21, in which Jesus focuses on the power of faith by referring back to the account of the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark 6, verses 30 to 44. We begin our examination of the text of the Gospel of St. Matthew with a discussion of the first theme, Jesus as a suffering but also humble servant of his Father. St. Mark opens the first verse with some important key words and concepts. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Like St. Matthew's account, St. Mark calls his story a gospel, from the Greek euangelion, meaning good news. There is a sense of immediacy when St. Mark identifies Jesus of Nazareth as the Christ, using the Greek title, which has the same meaning as the Hebrew, Messiah, also called the Anointed One in the Old Testament, meaning the one sent from God who would save his people. In the verse that I read, he boldly identifies in the first verse Jesus as the Son of God, effectively marking the Gospel of St. Mark as a work that is intended as a message for the faithful. After this minimal but bold preamble, St. Mark introduces his only direct quotation of the Old Testament in verses 2 and 3. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" The first quotation is from Malachi 3, verse 1, concerning the messenger who will prepare the way, and the second is from Isaiah 40, verse 3, referring to the one who cries in the wilderness. Both texts, by the way, are from the Septuagint or Greek Old Testament text. Where St. Matthew took up three chapters on genealogy and the meaning of the name Jesus before getting to Jesus' ministry as an adult man, St. Mark begins by introducing John the Baptist, called John the Forerunner in the Eastern tradition, in the fourth verse of chapter 1. The absence of any introductory material about John, as I noted earlier, indicates that St. Mark assumed that his readers already knew of John the Baptist. John came preaching in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. St. Mark's forceful style and fast pace gives his gospel the feel of an eyewitness account of John's baptism of the repentant in the River Jordan. Most scholars believe that the eyewitness was St. Peter, Mark's mentor. In verse 5, he writes, "Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him, and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins." He describes John's camel hair garment and leather belt and his eating habits in verse 6. Neither is characteristic of a king. "Now John was clothed in camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey." St. Mark makes the connection between John the Baptist and Jesus Christ implied by the quotation from Malachi and Isaiah in verses 7 and 8. To do this, however, he uses the humble words of John the Baptist, who refers to a widely understood Hebrew and Roman principle that only slaves stoop to touch sandals. He contrasts Jesus' form of baptism with water to the new form of baptism with the Holy Spirit. Later in this episode, we will discuss the difference between the two forms of baptism. Verses 7 and 8. "And he preached, saying, 'There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" St. Matthew uses the term "preached" three times, where St. Mark uses it six times, and I thought you might be interested in where that term comes from. The word "preached" comes from St. Jerome's translation of the Bible from Greek into Latin. Jerome translated several Greek words into a single Latin word based on the verb "predicare," which means to proclaim, usually in public. St. Jerome's translation was picked up in later English translations, including the King James Version in 1611. I believe you can benefit by learning some of the original Greek words which St. Jerome translated as "preached," and that is because they have slightly different meaning than the judgmental word "preach." Some of these are keruso and prokeruso. both of which mean to proclaim or to herald. And most importantly, euangizo, which means to proclaim or to herald the truth of the euangelion, the gospel, the good news. Theoretically, therefore, one who preaches is supposed to proclaim the gospel and is therefore more accurately called an evangelist rather than preacher. In St. Mark's account of St. John, the phrase baptism with water occurs in 1:8. But the statement is, quite boldly, that the one who comes after John will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Baptism is one of the two sacraments of the Church which were ordained by Jesus Christ. It should be understood that John's primitive form of baptism with water is not the same as the Christian sacrament of baptism. Where John baptized people to prepare them for Christ's coming, in the manner, as St. Luke points out, in the manner of Elijah, Christian baptism brings them into the presence in themselves of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, who had no sins to confess, nonetheless joined himself to the many followers of St. John by submitting himself to baptism by John. The event is described in St. Mark's usual concise, terse account in verse 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Another literary characteristic of St. Mark's Gospel is the repeated use of the word immediate, more than in any other Gospel account, using the word 41 times according to the New King James Study Bible's calculation. Immediate implies direct causation, but also serves to speed up the pace of the narrative. In verse 10, St. Mark provides a brief account of the rare simultaneous appearance of all three persons of the Holy Trinity. His account adds credibility to the claim made in verse 1 that Jesus is the Son of God. The baptism of Jesus is depicted in stained glass here at St. Joseph's Villa Chapel in window number 5 at the intersection of the north and rear aisles of the nave. Verses 10 and 11. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The concept of immediacy is invoked again in verse 12, which is Mark's two-verse account of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. While it lacks the detail provided in St. Matthew's Gospel, St. Mark's account reinforces the theme of Jesus as a servant of the Father by the declaration that the Holy Spirit, quote, drove, unquote, Jesus into the wilderness. Here's verses 12 and 13. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. In verse 14, St. Mark identifies for the first time the purpose of Jesus' incarnation and signals the start of his ministry in Galilee. Where St. Matthew wrote many times of the kingdom of God, St. Mark uses the term in his own words only 4 times, the first 2 of which are found in verses 14 and 15, where kingdom and other powerful words such as at hand, repent, and believe are used. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The introduction of Jesus' ministry in Galilee is marked by the introduction of the first of the disciples, Peter, who was St. Mark's mentor, Peter's brother Andrew, and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. According to St. Mark, these men, all fishermen, immediately did what Jesus commanded, that is, left their boats and followed him. In St. Mark's brief account, there is no mention of Jesus' teaching in this occasion as there is in St. Matthew's account. Verses 16, 17, and 18. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And now verses 19 and 20. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Next time in episode 8, we will focus our attention in a discussion of the text of St. Mark's Gospel with St. Mark's focus on miracles or signs, of which there are 18 in the Gospel of St. Mark. Thank you for joining me for episode 7 of the Holy Bible, the New Testament. While you're on the website, I invite you to visit the digital library page for our on-demand podcast and videocast archive, the bookstore page for information about all our publications, and a live link to our e-store at our Podbean site, www.stjohnc.podbean.com, and the Anglican Hour page, which offers links to our program archive of current and previous series. Producing these programs requires time and money. You can support this internet ministry in two ways. You can make a direct donation by sending a check in any amount, payable to St. Chrysostom Church, to our business office address, 7162 Soft Wind Lane, Mechanicsville, Virginia, 23111. That's 7162 Soft Wind Lane, three words, Mechanicsville, Virginia, 23111. Or, as I noted, you can purchase books from our bookstore or e-store at our Podbean site, www.stjohnc.podbean.com. Go to the bookstore page on that site where you can order any of our 10 publications using PayPal. If you would like to speak with me personally about this program or any other episode or any other subject, please call on my church cell phone, 804-306-1190. If you do not reach me, please leave your name and a message and a callback number. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. For those who are not already aware of it, I want to let you know that this series is now available on our revised and expanded YouTube channel, where you can see videos of the first 7 episodes. And that address is https://www.youtube.com/user/St. John C. S-A-I-N-T-J-O-H-N-C. Thank you for joining me, and may God bless you in all that you do in his name. Amen. Thank you.